Beer with Pleasant Strangers, episode 5. All right, welcome to another episode of Beer with Pleasant Strangers. We're coming to you actually from Bottlecraft, which is a bottle shop in San Diego. They actually have 4 locations, and I'm here with my good friend Alan, who just got back from Dark Lord Day. So I'm going to have him jump into that in a minute here, but first I just want to learn a little bit about you, Alan, real quick. Just describe a little bit, real quick, your journey into craft beer.
Journey into craft beer was mostly just grew up in San Diego. Whenever I'd come back home, I went to school on the East Coast. I'd come back home and my friends would be drinking like Stone IPA, which I thought was like super cool. So I'd hit up like the Stone like growler room and try some beer and stuff. And I thought that was awesome. It was cool. Tried some, Lagunitas IPAs and stuff. And then one of my grad school assistants brewed beer on his own. And he gave me some of his, like, Vienna lagers, like, Czech Pils lagers, and just other amazing beers, like his porters, barley wines, and, like, the best beer I'd ever tried. And I was like, I want to brew that. Like, as a scientist, I wanted to do that type of thing. So he, like, helped me out, got me started. Gave me the equipment, the recipes, everything I needed, and just, it was like take off from there. It was just like a full scientific, immersion of trying out everything and stuff.
So was that the beer that kind of like opened your mind, like expanded your palate, like that homebrew, like
yeah,
from your
it
friend?
Was like, it was definitely his like lager that he had brewed. And this guy, like, he's a homebrewer. He wins like gold medals in like the lager categories, like Vienna lager, like Czech Pils, like all these amazing categories that most craft beer enthusiasts who are into imperial stouts, barley wines, and wild ales like wouldn't have a clue about. But he would win gold medals in these lager styles, and it just blew my mind. And I was like, "That's what I want to do. That's what I want to try and stuff."
Awesome.
Cool. Yeah, it was awesome.
So you're a privileged San Diego native, actually of National City, San Diego. It's a very particular part of San Diego. But I never met you. I moved here to San Diego, and I never met you. You were living in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yep.
Missouri.
St. Louis. Yeah.
You went to school out there?
Yeah, went to grad school out there. It was great because I was into, like, Stone, and I was into, like, Lagunitas, and, like, major, like, kind of like the amateur craft beer stuff. Let's be honest. Like, if someone tells you I'm into craft beer and they're like, I like Stone IPA, you're like, oh, you're, like, not really into craft beer. But I was, like, stoked that Stone distributed even to Missouri and Whole Foods and shit. And,
yeah.
just the fact that I could get that was cool and stuff. And then I started to realize, like, St. Louis had this burgeoning craft beer industry Perennial, with Side Project going on, like Four Hens, all these amazing breweries.
Second Shift.
Yeah, Second Shift, exactly. And I was there when, like literally Side Project was, like, a dream, and I got to, like, see it develop and stuff. And I just remember I wasn't at his first, release or anything like that, but I was at one of his, like, within the first year of him starting, I was there trying his beers, and I was there to pick up Barrel Age Abraxas, I remember. And they just happened to coincide with the release of Side Project. It was Saison de Fermier, like, batch 2. And they were like, you have to try this beer. It's amazing. Like, it's super sought after. And I was like, this tastes like white wine. Like, why do I care about this beer that tastes like white wine? And little did I know that, like, that white wine barrel-aged Saison was, like, the beer that I'd always want. Like, it was crazy about... I went there for barrel-aged Abraxas. Totally different beer. And then I ended up trying this barrel-aged, white wine Saison that was something I didn't even appreciate. But it to this day, I'll remember that beer, like, forever. And yeah, that was the cool part. But
that's awesome. So I met you through a mutual friend, and now you move back to San Diego, still completely immersed in craft beer, just the community, but also just the craziness. Like, I mean, you trade and you kind of have like connections all over the country now and that stuff. So it's like, so you kind of have like a perspective, I feel like, across the board, of the whole countrywide craft beer, like kind of the subculture and like the cool,
the like thousand science-y, foot view,
like you like have a bird's eye view of everything going on.
Definitely.
And then with all this, here in 2017, you had decided originally not to go to Dark Lord Day. I think you wanted to, right? And then lo and behold, a turn of events happened and you decided to go. So tell me a little bit about that. You wound up going to Dark Lord Day a little bit on a lark.
So this is actually like a, that's what I love about the craft beer community in general is that one of my friends from St. Louis who like welcomed me in the craft beer community there, his it was really unfortunate, but his father, he literally like got assaulted in St. Louis, like was beat up by this random guy, had a ton of medical bills. Jeez. And was like, it was really messed up. Basically my like friend couldn't afford the medical bills, couldn't afford anything. So I donated like over $1,000 worth of beer. I sold it all, donated all this money to, you know, to his father's fund and stuff. And not expecting anything in return and stuff, obviously. And, you know, did this all for him. And like almost a year later, he was like, dude, do you want to come out to Dark Lord Day? Like out of nowhere, you know, he was like, do you want a ticket? Just as a thank you for doing that stuff for his father. And, you know, I was like, I'm down. Checked out a flight, you know, wow. Super cheap stuff. So I ended up going out there for that, you know, just because he hooked me up with the flight. And then Dark Lord Day this year has been really screwed up. Dark Lord Day was basically supposed to be a group got the first pick at the Hanji, at the FVM, at the Rare Variants. But it was only 2 weeks ago that they announced that it was going to be evenly distributed. So people were pretty pissed off because they had to seek out the A group tickets, they had to pay extra for it, trade extra beers for it, and then now they're selling me online extra A group tickets just because, you know, they saved some extra and stuff. So people were pretty pissed off about that.
Jeez. So. And for the uninitiated, so Dark Lord Day has been Three Floyds every year releases a Russian Imperial Stout brewed with, well, it's like got vanilla and
it's
like...
It's got vanilla, it's got Mexican vanilla... sugar, and I think even coffee in it.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, but
and they do this every year, and this Dark Lord Day event that they've done to celebrate the release of this beer, they've been doing every year since the mid-aughts. Like
oh yeah, this is Dark Lord Day Festival like predates even craft beer people. Like this Dark Lord Day Festival isn't for craft beer people; it's for like metal like listeners and metalheads
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah,
and, like I knew they were like involved with the metal like group and stuff like that or the metal community, but one of my like friends even told me today that like one of the brewmasters is like in a metal band. And
oh, yeah.
once you like understand that dynamic, you realize that like Dark Lord Day is, you know, it transcends beer culture. It's a kind of amalgamation of beer culture, like metal culture, and just like local people who like to drink beer for a day and go to a beer festival. You know, it's you get this weird mashup of people who come to this, and it's actually really cool to see it all, experience it all, and just to take it all in from someone who is like doesn't listen to that at all, is from California and has no idea about whatever else goes on and stuff. But
so it's like a confluence of these different interesting like kind of subgenres going on. Like
so like within 30 seconds of each other, I saw someone open up a Label S Notorious, which is like $1,000 beer.
That's Jay Wakefield's.
Jay Wakefield Abnormal Collab, yeah. And stuff like that. Then right next to this guy, he was drinking a Yingling, smoking a cigarette, you know, just like listening to metal music on his iPod and stuff. And it's this dynamic, which is like you get point A, you get point B, and then you get the whole spectrum in between, which is pretty cool. And that's what I like about it, is that it's just like you will never expect whatever you see at Dark Lord Day. It's absurd.
And so in years past, they started releasing these barrel-aged variants where they just kind of went off the deep end and, like, just put random crap in the beer to see what would happen. It almost seems like some of these variants, like, you're like, what were they thinking? Earl of Biggest Wade.
I think they started off on, like, a good foot. They were like, we want to make good variants. You know, we want to make, like, beers that people will like, you know, like Hanji, you know, BVDL. In other names and stuff, or like bourbon barrel aged Dark Lord, like that's a good beer. But I think they started to realize like we're making these good beers, and then we also want to make some shitty beers. I think they had like a trolling aspect involved, because you know barrel aged Dark Lord, Hanji, all these beers are amazing. No one's gonna deny that. No one's gonna worry about that. But then they started to release these like these fucking curry beers with curry, with cardamom, with, you know, peppercorns and all this other stuff. And yes, I know chemtrail mix is so hot right now. It's the fire.
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon, pink peppercorns. Yeah,
whoa.
Like, Exactly. It's, you know, Blue Steel, whatever. We get it.
But real quick, did you have chemtrail mix? Did you try it there?
So here, do you know how, like, it blew up? The craziest part is that...
I don't.
So, you know Hanji is sought after. FVM is sought after. Such and such. So they released it. People were, like, selling their Hanji outside the door for, like, $400, lots of money and stuff. Then people were selling chemtrail mix for $100 because they were, like, peppercorns and cinnamon, who cares? Whatever. $100 sold. Then they tapped a keg of trail mix at the, like, Dark Lord Day keg place.
Okay.
And then people tried it, and they were like, this is snickerdoodles. This is Barrel Age Abraxas. This is fire. And then people started to realize chemtrail mix is actually really good. We fucked up. And then chemtrail mix, it's like buy, not sell.
It's just like Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly. It was crazy. It was insane.
That's so funny.
So that's how it happened. They literally tapped the keg. People were like, wait, this is actually really good. $100 is stupid. I'll pay more than that. People started to listen to it and were like, all right, I'm just going to buy more chemtrail mix. You know, what's the point in buying BVDL, FVM, all that stuff?
Gosh. So now dialing back in. So Dark Lord Day is now this epic cultural event. Last year it happened in what, March?
So last year was actually, it's normally every year in early April.
Early April. Okay, gotcha.
So I don't know if you've heard about past years and stuff, but it's usually pretty shitty weather.
Yeah.
So last year, forecast was raining all day, you know, about maybe 45, 50 degrees.
It's in Munster, Indiana. Basically a super exurb of Chicagoland.
The armpit of Chicago.
The armpit of Chicagoland.
If you will. But yeah,
quite Gary, Indiana, though. I mean, that's a little further down.
Yeah, Gary's like where all the firearms are bought. That's like where the murder rate of Chicago comes from.
So you lay out to like to get a tan, and instead you get a fine layer of ash on your body.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, Dark Lord Day was it's a fun time. It's a lot of alcohol, a lot of. Basically, you start drinking it like 8 in the morning, and then you start to realize, like, I have to pace this till Goat Whore comes on at, like, you know, 7 p.m., and, you know, you got to listen to Goat Whore.
So you're saying there's a whole lot of overlapping cultural kind of things going on at Dark Lord Day.
Oh, yeah.
And you were saying in the beginning, right before we started, you were talking about when you boarded a plane to fly out there, like, you would see people on the plane wearing, like, beer shirts,
basically, yeah. So,
like paraphernalia.
So imagine you were going to Dark Lord Day. Like, you're at work in your fucking cubicle, and you're like, I'm stoked to go there. You're thinking about beer all day, and then you go to the airport, and then you see other people in beer, you know, in beer t-shirts, and you're like, my brethren. Like, this is my people, you know? And then you start to realize, like, oh, shit, like, we're all going to Dark Lord Day. And then you start talking about beer, you know? You start hanging out in the gate area, talking about beer, hanging out. You know, you get off, you say your due diligence, then you get to your hotel after the airport, after arriving in Chicago, and then you're like, wait, this is beer Mecca, because everyone in the hotel is here for Dark Lord Day. So literally the entire, like, you know, conference room is a big beer share. The entire lobby is a big beer share. Basically, everyone is just sharing beer the entire time. This Dark Lord Day hasn't even started, technically. People stay up till 3-4 in the morning drinking beer for no good reason.
Just think about, like, all the precious, like, bottles that are just chilling inside of hotel mini fridges.
It's not even precious bottles. So this is the best story. This is, like, one of my favorite anecdotes. Was I got in at like 9 p.m. Took me, like, you know, 20 minutes to get to the car rental. Another 45 minutes to get to Munster, Indiana from O'Hare. And I walk in, and in the patio area, there are people sharing beer, and I see on the ground a case of Bud Light. And I'm like, what's going on here? Like
Actual Bud Light.
And people just, because it's before Dark Lord Day and they want to drink beer and still hang out, they just share Bud Light amongst the whales. To keep the ball, it's kind of like having Stag.
Okay.
To rinse out your glass.
Okay. This is like a little hydration session in between. Yeah, like,
exactly. I was very confused, but hey, it's popular. I'm not going to complain.
On the trade forums, we call Bud Light BL for short.
There you go. Yeah.
OGBL.
Or just Bottle Logic.
Yeah. Yeah, Bottle Logic. Oh, that's true. That could be confusing.
It works. It works.
So real quick. So just to, for people who have never been to Dark Lord Day, have no concept of what the heck it is, like, they break it down nowadays into sessions, right?
So, yeah, there are sessions. The sessions are to make it, like, easy so there's not, like, 10,000 people trying to get their bottle at once.
Yeah.
It's five different sessions, usually about 10,000 people, so about 2,000 people per session. So you get two hours.
A lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people. You get 2 hours to pick up your beers. You know, session A starts from 9 to 11, and then session B, 11 to 1, and so on and so on.
Okay.
So it's just it's totally, you know, managerial. It makes sense. Split it up. You can handle it. Whatever. But, you know, it used to be that the people who showed up early were the people who got the first pick.
Right. So last year, session A got to pick from all the available variants, right?
Exactly. Like, so I was session A last year. There was literally a table just full of Hanji, full of FVM, full of every variant. They were like, pick whatever you want. And I got to choose. This year, you walk up to a table and there's 10 people again handing out bags, but you don't know what's going in and stuff.
It's random.
So, yeah, so you're walking up. Whew. You're like nervous, like, yeah. Knees weak, palms are sweaty, like mom's spaghetti.
Just, this is the moment.
Exactly. So moment. You're like, all right, it what's all gonna happen? And then you're like, all right, like, Pikachu, I choose you. And then you choose that guy handing out bags. And the next thing you know, he hands you a bag and it has FVM in it. And you're just like, what's up? You know? And then, but right next to me, people were getting, you know, variants or vintages and such.
Okay.
When you're like, oh shit, like that's not good. You know?
Yeah. And so the vintages were typically we'd get what, like four regular bottles and a variant.
So everyone got four bottles of regular, no matter
right,
what.
You right,
know,
no
everyone
what.
Got four bottles of regular, no matter if you were like a shit lord. Dude, so you remember that shit lord who we saw who poured the beer into the 5-hour energy shot?
Yes, I do. at Week of Logic.
He was there.
Oh, he was there. He was at Dark Lord Day.
He like squeezed by me and was like, excuse me. And I said to all my group, I was like, he is a shit lord. And all my group was like, what do you mean? No. Why is he a shit lord? And I was like, I explained what he did and they were like, he's a shit lord.
So real quick anecdote. The story was, this was at Week of Logic at Bottle Logic. During day one, Fundamental Forces release. And we were all there together, you and me and a whole bunch of other people. And we witnessed someone pouring Fundamental Forces into a fry boat, like a little one of
as
those.
As a funnel.
He was using it as a funnel.
He was pouring it into a 5-hour energy shot.
Yes.
And the funnel was a used French fry boat with the crumbs in it.
Yes, with the oils and the crumbs and all of the delicious potatoey goodness in it. So potato French fried, oily, deep fried Fundamental Forces in a 5-hour energy shot vial. You know who you are if you had that beer and you bought it or you obtained it, however you did. Guess what? It had fry particles in it.
If you obtain that French fry 5-hour energy shot vial, talk to me. I'll make it up to you, all right? Fuck this guy. Just talk to me. I'll help you.
Yeah, you need some clean Fundamental Forces there. So he was there. So you talk about that. I mean, like, so here you are. You're like my brethren meeting people. But then you see that guy. I mean, like, that's kind of like, what's something about Dark Lord Day that just kind of like just causes you angst and pain?
Actually, it's the exact opposite. Dark Lord Day doesn't cause me angst, doesn't cause me pain.
Okay.
It's the exact opposite, actually. We're like, basically, you're at a festival where like 95% of the people are there just to like hang out, share beer.
Cool.
They don't have whales, you know. They don't. Maybe they're there for the music. They're there to share beer, you know. And just talk and hang out. And, like, I know if I ever have an empty bottle, literally, and I'm standing around people with empty glasses, I say, hey, you have an empty glass. Try this beer. I did this with Rare Scoop. I did this with, you know, like, all the beers that I had there, basically. It was just like, hey, you have an empty beer. You look like you're thirsty. I'll try this with you, you know? And it's just all about sharing stuff. And that's the coolest part, is that, you know, people just want to try good beer, not worried about like any stigma or anything, And they're just like, hey, you know, you look like you like beer. I want to share this with you. You're here. And that's what it comes down to, is that people are just like super generous.
That was going to be my next question then, was like, what was your like favorite thing just about the community and all that in general?
No, it was super cool. It just blew my mind, you know, to think that, like, I'm not going to lie. I'm like, yeah, I like sharing and I like being generous, but I've never seen people just be like, you know, I'm from California, so I've tried Space Trace multiple times, but there was a guy standing in front of me who was like, hey, do you want to try this beer called Space Trace? And I was like, yeah, I'd love to try it. And then he poured it, you know, poured me a sample. It was fair, you know, fat pour. And then he turned around to everyone else, gave pours, and they were about to let everyone in, which meaning you had to kill your open bottles. And he was like, do you want more Space Trace? And I was like, are you kidding me, bro? Like, you already gave me some. Like, I don't need more. And he was like, dude, just have some. You know, he was just like, dude, he was like, just have some. And I was like, that's nice. Generosity, you know? And that sums it up about Dark Lord Days. People are just so cool. So open to share stuff, and you know, just happy to like they're happy to see someone try the beer they have instead of thinking about like, what am I gonna do with this beer to give to someone?
Yeah,
I don't know, you know, and it's the mindset, and that's the difference. It's the mindset,
right?
Plus, Midwest, super generous people in the Midwest are super cool usually. In St. Louis, you know, I've had so much generosity that's insane, but.
This is actually a recurrent theme in everyone I've talked to so far on the podcast, and just in general, it's just like the generosity and the giving mindset, the sharing mindset is a big part of the community, like the really, really diehards in the community, like that want to spread the love.
I think once you break past that like initial barrier, you realize most people who are into craft beer are super generous.
Yeah.
Super just selfless. They just want to make sure you try good beer. And if they make sure you try good beer, that's what counts. And
or if they're making it, they want to make that good beer for you. Like,
yeah, no, I mean, exactly.
Like you, for instance, you actually homebrew.
Definitely, yeah.
Like a lot.
Yeah, like so on a pretty regular basis. I brew a lot of brew a lot of beer, IPAs, barley wines, like sours, like whatever. It's a pretty big, checklist of stuff. And for me, it's not about just like, oh, I want you guys to tell me my beer is good. No. Like, honestly, I would rather have you guys tell me my beer isn't good for this reason, so I can go back to the drawing board and be like, this is what I need to change. You know, telling me my beer is like, oh, it's good, it's fluffy, it's juicy. Like, who cares? I want someone to tell me my beer needs this or needs that. And, you know, that's what I like about most stuff. And it's fun to, it's rewarding more than anything. To give someone something you made, you know, you started with barley, started with hops, some fucking water, and, like, some salts, like calcium, chloride, gypsum, whatever stuff, you know. And then you make this stuff that people actually like to drink. And that's what I like about it. It's like, it's fun.
It's a science, but it's not an exact science, but it's something everyone can appreciate.
For me, it's a big science experiment where, like, for me on my side, I can play with stuff, I can monitor it, I can do this. But, you know, it's just a hobby in the end. If it comes out bad, so what? I dump it out, I don't care. It's not the end of the world. And that's what's fun about it, you know? Because I've definitely made bad beer. I'm not trying to say I'm perfect or anything like that.
I mean, who hasn't? You know, if you're a homebrewer, who hasn't produced something that they were like, okay, I might.
They have. If they say they haven't, they're just lying. But it's okay.
It's all good.
People are self-conscious. Okay. I'm not going to hate on them for that. You know, if they have to make perfect beer, then good for them, you know. But it's just, for me, I want to make beer that people give me feedback on, that I enjoy drinking most of all. And that's it.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes out to.
Even Corey King from Side Project has to have made a bad beer at least one time, right?
Oh, you know? Made a bad beer. All of his proof of concepts, every single one. Don't buy his shared projects. They suck. Don't buy it.
No, really? Wait, really?
The only beer I've heard is good from him is the coffee shared vibes.
Okay. So
his coffee stout. That's the only beer I've heard to come out that's good.
We actually had one tonight. Which one did we have? We had a...
Proof of concept, number three.
Proof of concept, number three, bad. The canned
tasted,
one. Okay.
It tasted like lambic hops. Tasted like grassy lambic hops. Corey, don't use your used hops for IPAs. Buy fresh hops.
So like the aged Word. European hops that they would like, add to like a lambic.
It was like aged European lambic fucking attic hops. Like, it was bad. It was bad. And I taste these hops because I can taste old hops. I've used old hops. I'm a home brewer. I'm fucking cheap. I try to save money and use old hops. And I was like, this tastes like cheese. Corey, your proof of concept tastes like cheese. Fix it.
There you go.
That's literally what I taste. It tastes cheese.
All right, so one last question. So, what's your favorite like takeaway from Dark Lord Day this year? What's your funniest like story or anecdote?
Favorite takeaway from Dark Lord Day?
The thing that'll stick with you for this year.
Honestly, drink Pedialyte. Drink Pedialyte.
Okay.
I drank Pedialyte for the first time. Like not those shake up packets you put into a Dasani, like that salty ass shit that like you buy like the actual pre-mixed, and my hangover was gone.
Wow.
You know, here's the beautiful part is that Pedialyte normally is like marketing towards mothers and, you know, kids and stuff.
Yeah.
No, Pedialyte was like, we got money in the craft beer community and they're like, it's good for kids and adults. And now they're marketing Pedialyte towards everyone. And basically, wow. I would say just drink Pedialyte. Just drink Pedialyte for like lunch.
So you had an actual transformative experience with Pedialyte this year.
I could drink more. Like I became Superman. With Pedialyte. I can just drink more.
Awesome. All right, man. Well, hey, thanks for giving me your little Dark Lord Day in a nutshell download.
Cheers, bro.
And being on my little podcast here. I think they're about to close down Bottlecraft here, so they're going to boot us out. But, before we go, how can people find you if they want to follow your escapades and homebrewing and stuff? Like, are you on the internet? Are you on, like, Twitter or Instagram or anything like that?
Yeah, so I'll send it to Joel, but my like untapped homebrew thing is Lenoyton Beer Co. But I'll send him the link and he'll post it. I'm sure with this podcast episode.
Put that in the show notes.
Yeah, and we'll go from there and stuff. Like it's a pretty fucked up name. It's national spelled backwards, so it's complicated. But
yeah, it's complicated, but
it's complicated. Yeah,
not really that complicated. Alan, thanks for being on the show, man. All right. Cheers. We were actually drinking this whole time. We were drinking Jam the Radar. More about that in some future forthcoming episodes.
It was good.
It was good. Yeah. It tasted kind of like one of those chocolates that you fish out of like the chocolate box and you're like, oh, man, I don't know how I feel about this one. And then you're like, this is really good. Holy crap. It's like a fruity.
Anything's a dildo if you're brave enough, says Abraham Lincoln. So.
Yeah, exactly what he said.
Just saying.
All right. So thanks for tuning in. In the meantime, don't be a stranger. We'll see you next time.